Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Oil India Limited 2Q FY25 Results Conference Call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Shivashankaran from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha. Very good morning to everyone. I would like to welcome all the participants to this call and the management of Oil India Limited, represented by Shri Ashok Das, Director HR, also holding charges, additional charges, Director Finance, Shri Saloma Ramdo, Director E&D, holding additional charges, Director Operations, Shri Rupam Barua, ED, F&A and CFO, and Shri Sachidananda Maharana, CGM, F&A. I'd like to hand over the call to the management for their initial remark, and then we can move on to Q&A.
Thank you, Mr. Varadarajan. We now request our Director HR and Administrative Sir, Director of Finance, Mr. Ashok Das, to kindly give his inaugural address to the audience.
Thank you. A very warm good morning to the friends. At the outset, we would like to thank Mrs. Antique Stock Broking Limited for organizing this call for discussing the second quarter FY25 results with the management of the company. The company's financial results for the quarter ended 30th September 24 were approved by the board of directors on 5th November 2024 and have been published. The company has achieved significant milestones in terms of growth in production numbers of both crude oil and natural gas. The significant financial and operating achievement will be briefed by our ED, F&A and CFO, which can be followed by a Q&A session. So I welcome you once again to the con call. Thank you.
Good morning, dear friend. I would like to thank Mrs. Antique Stock Broking Limited for organizing today's analyst call. I am Rupam Bhula, CEO of this company. The company's financial results of Q2 financial year 24-25 were published on 5th November 2024. I briefly give some highlights about the performance of the company in both physical and financial terms. Now, coming to the standalone results, beginning with the production form, the company has continued to improve its crude oil production, which is higher by 4.79% in quarter ended 30th September 2024 at 0.875 MMT vis-a-vis 0.835 MMT in the quarter ended 30th September 2023. Crude oil production has increased by 5.5% in half year ended 30th September 2024 at 1.746 MMT vis-a-vis 1.655 MMT in the half year ended 30th September 2023. Natural gas production during half year ended 30th September 2024 is at 1.617 BCM, increased by 3.99% over the production in half year ended 30th September 2023, which was 1.555 BCM of BCM. However, natural gas production for the quarter ended 30th September 2024 is marginally lower by 1.36% at 0.799 BCM vis-a-vis 0.810 BCM for the quarter ended 30th September 2023. On the financial side, average crude oil price realization for Q2 is US$79.33 per barrel, vis-a-vis US$86.86 barrel for quarter two, financial year 24. Decreased by 8.67%. For the half year ended 30th September 2024, Average crude oil realization is $82.09 per barrel vis-à-vis $82.22 barrel for the half year ended 30th September 2023, which is decreased by 0.16%. Average natural gas price remains for the quarter has remained at $6.5 MMBTU. The turnover for half year ended 30th September 2024 has increased by 7.58% to ₹11,358.62 crore compared to ₹10,558.04 crore in half year ended 30th September 2023, which is mainly due to higher crude oil and natural gas selling half year financial 25 compared to half year financial 24. Average natural gas price for Q2 FY25 has remained unchanged at $6.5. The EBITDA margin for Q2 financial year 25 has decreased by 47.67% vis-à-vis 48.29% for Q2 FY24, which is mainly due to lower crude oil price. Profit after tax for Q2 financial year 24-25 is 1834.07 crore vis-à-vis 325.31 crore for Q2 financial year 23-24. The profit after tax for the half year ended 30th September 2024 has increased by 70.26% to 3,300.91 crore vis-à-vis 1,938.74 crore for the half year ended 30th September 2023. The earning per share for the half year ended 30th September 2024 is ₹20.29 per share vis-à-vis 11.92 for the half year ended 30th September 2023. Now I'm going to give financial performance of Numaligarh Refinery Limited. Our profit after tax of Numaligarh Refinery Limited for Q2 financial year 24-25 is ₹175.05 crore vis-à-vis ₹735.51 crore during Q2 financial 23-24, and profit after tax for the half year ended 30th September 2024 is ₹605.58 crore compared to ₹657.95 crore for the corresponding period last year. NRL's gross refining margin during the Q2 financial 24-25 is $2.25 barrel vis-a-vis $16.04 per barrel during Q2 financial year 23-24, and gross refining margin for the half year ended 30th September 24 is $4.45 barrel vis-a-vis $13.49 barrel for the half year ended 30th September 2023. NRL's EBITDA for Q2 financial year 24-25 is ₹398.85 crore vis-a-vis ₹1,084.55 crore for the Q2 financial year 23-24, while EBITDA for the half year ended 30th September 24 is ₹1,132.5 crore vis-a-vis ₹1,079.34 crore for the half year ended 30th September 23-24. Our consolidated results, the oil group turnover for the half year ended 30th September 2024 is 17,456.79 crore vis-a-vis ₹15,225.23 crore for the half year ended 30th September 2023. And consolidated profit after tax for the half year ended 30th September 2024 is Rs. 4,000 85.46 crore vis-a-vis rupees 2,039.85 crore for the half year ended 30th September 2023. With this, my opening remark on performance is over. We are now open to question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just had a couple of questions. First was, what is the reason for the sequential dip a little bit that we have seen in the natural gas production in Q2?
Yeah, your voice is not clear. Can you please repeat the question?
Sir, this is better. Am I audible now?
Yes, yes. Now you are audible. Please.
Yes, thanks. I was saying, sir, that the first question was, what is the reason for the sequential decline, QOQ decline in gas production? Any color you can throw on this?
Yeah, please.
This is Toluco Burma, by the way. CGM OSG. For the director of operations. What is happening is in this period is a little bit of shutdown, especially NTPS, so number of thermal power station and LTPS, Lakua thermal power station. They take around 0.6 and 0.6 and 0.45 or something like that, around one MSM. So they during that period, during this Q2 period, they had major shutdown actually.
Okay.
So they didn't operate. And also NRL, what happened is that they had some surplus naphtha during this period. So NRL consumption was also a little bit low. And APL also was from 27.8 to 39, almost you can say 20 days close to 20 days they were having some emergency plant trees actually.
Low
upliftment. Basically, this is because of low upliftment. It is not that we cannot produce. We could produce, but because this low upliftment by the customers,
uh-huh.
because of that only it happened. That is the reason.
So, sir, if I can ask a follow-up, in the third quarter then, have we seen a reversal of some of these conditions? So can we expect a pickup in offtake in the third quarter if the shutdowns are over and NRL surplus naphtha is also used up?
I think there will be more uplift. But on the other hand, there will be a little bit of less upliftment by the tea garden because this is the lean season for the tea garden. So overall, I think there will be small increment. I think it will go to the level of the earlier quarter or maybe a little bit more. Yes.
So for FY25, then overall, the guidance that we had of 3.2 to 3.3 BCM, if I remember correctly, that is still maintained. That's the kind of production we expect to still do.
That will be maintained.
And sir, any guidance you can give for FY26 as of now?
For the FY26, no, because we are in upgradation of many facilities basically, and we are thinking about the pipeline from IGGL. Although since unless they come, I think the situation will remain a little bit moralized like that, but. Overall, I think we'll be able to go good once that IGGL line comes.
So 26, we don't have any guidance as of now on the gas production, is what you're saying.
As of now, no, no, sir. Only thing is that we can tell you about is that currently there will be less of flaring because we have already installed a Kumsai Kusijan pipeline. Uh-huh. So this has it.
Yes, and the director ED also is coming.
This is Saloma, Director Exploration.
Hello, sir.
So you are aware that the long-term vision of the company in the next few years is to achieve production close to 4 million tons of oil and uh-huh. 5 BCM of gas per year. So that's a long-term vision which we envision to accomplish within the next couple of years.
Okay.
So the gradual increase will definitely be there. Now the bottlenecks with respect to low upliftment of customers, etc., will be mainly offset by, like our CGM said, by the proposed IGGL pipeline which will come up. And in the meantime, we are aggressively going for achieving zero flare by December 25. And so that is also going to increase our offtake, where we see that there is potential, additional requirement, even from existing customers. So on a year-on-year, you can expect that this 4-5% incremental growth in gas production and oil production will definitely continue.
Understood, sir. That's what I was looking for. One last question, if I may, on NRL. This quarter's under, is it possible to share the GRM including the excise duty benefit? I think the number shared was net of that.
Yeah, actually the GRM which is reported by NRL is always without excise benefit, because that is the comparable GRM on pan-India basis. So excise duty is never included as part of GRM reported by the refinery. Now the GRM which has been reported by NRL for this quarter two is only $2.25 per barrel. Okay.
Right.
But having said that, there is an issue in this quarter in terms of the inventory loss, which is prevalent across the industry actually during this quarter. So the inventory loss is about $4.5 per US dollar per barrel. So if you remove that, then the GRM would have been about $6.7, $6.5, $6.7.
Similar to what it was last quarter.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
No problem. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Mr. Keetan, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I also want to understand in terms of the why we had given up YOY production growth on the oil side. The sales was, there was a YOY decline in the sales of oil. Could you explain the reasons for the same?
Something that is the question.
Yeah.
For the crude oil production, there has been a 4% YOY growth in this quarter. As against that, there has been a 1 to 2% decline in the sales for the crude oil. What is the reason which has led to this YOY decline in the crude oil sales?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, last quarter there was a NRL shutdown was there.
Actually, there was a small shutdown in NRL of about 10 to 15 days. So as a result of that, there has been a slight decline in the sales of crude oil, although there has been improvement in production.
And will we be able to sort of offset that additional inventory during the next quarter? So would the crude oil sales be higher by that amount?
Crude oil sales will improve because unless there is shutdown, there is no question of crude oil sales going down.
But refinery offtake depends on their operational issues and all. So if they don't have any issues, from our side, we'll be able to kind of create sales for us.
Right. And what would be our FY25 target for the crude oil? would it remain unchanged?
Sorry?
The target, production target. For the FY25.
Current year?
Current year, yes.
Yeah, for the current year, the target, actually, we have created our own revised target.
3.9.
No, it will be 3.6, close to 3.6, yeah, 3.56 or something.
3.56 million ton for the crude oil, and natural gas is 3.2 to 3.3 BCM, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So our achievement would be a little higher, close to 3.45 this year.
Natural gas.
No, include a few gas or oil. Close to 3.5, 3.45 will be our achievement in the crude oil. 3.45 to 3.5.
Right. Could you also highlight the progress on the Indradhanush gas grid? Is it likely to get completed by December 24?
As far as phase one is concerned, that is about 385 kilometers, which is running from Guwahati to Numaligarh. That has already been mechanically completed. Okay. And that nitrogen feeding has already been done for about 280 kilometers or something. And by December, they are saying that they will be able to start off with this phase one.
And for sort of the additional customers that we will be adding alongside the phase one, have we already entered into the agreements with them now?
Phase one is since running from Guwahati to Numaligarh, so that line will not have any impact as far as Oil India is concerned, because Oil India up to Numaligarh is scattered by DNPL, which is also under upgradation and augmentation. So as far as up to Numaligarh line is concerned, definitely they must be having some talk with GAIL with regard to the customer arrangement and all.
So with GAIL we are having some talks.
Yeah.
For our perspective, which is the line which will, when would the sort of the augmentation of the line would help us to start increasing the volumes?
Yeah. As far as Oil India is concerned, because we should be capable of evacuating the gas which is there with us in the Duliajan region. Okay. So as far as that gas is concerned, that we will be able to evacuate once there is another line of about 116 kilometer 24 inch line which will be coming from North Bank to up to Duliajan. So that will be an additional line. So once that line comes up to Duliajan, then we will be able to push the gas from Duliajan to our fullest potential.
And could you also share the current status on that line and target dates for completion?
That is about within two years time they are going to make it happen.
So for next couple of years, would this mean that our natural gas production will remain more or less flat until and unless this line is complete?
That may not also be a correct statement, for the reason that because DNPL line is also under augmentation. And as you are aware, because normally the refinery is under expansion. So their expected date of completion is December 2024. So once this new refinery comes into full stream of operation, they will require additional gas. Which they are, as on that they are taking 0.9 to 1 MMS CMD, so that will ramp up to 2.5 to 3 MMS CMD. So as a result, we cannot say that we have to bank on this IGGL only to increase our production.
So NRL will be one of the key customers where we will see the offtake increase. And about the DNPL line, what would be the status and when is it likely to get?
DNPL line is going ahead with two phases, so phase one and phase two. Phase one is expected completion is March 25 and phase two is March 26. So that is a 433 crore project that is also going ahead.
Right, and what would be the sort of the offtake addition with the completion of phase one in March 25?
March 25, what would be the offtake? That I will...
Just to add on what Mr. Prabhu is saying, actually, see, the Numaligarh refinery, their commissioning target is December 25. So the first phase, so the first phase of this DNPL line, that total capacity, the increased capacity requirement for Numaligarh refinery is expected to be around 3 MMSCMD. Out of that, one we are already transporting with the existing capacity. So the target is that by last quarter of next financial year, I mean the next calendar year, the DNPL first phase line will be activated, and because the mechanical completion will take some time. So by the time that DNPL line increased capacity of 2 MMSCMD comes into play, that will directly meet the increased requirement of Numaligarh refinery. So we can say expect that the increase in volume may start from the last quarter of next financial year from the DNPL pipeline.
Right. So then the understanding would be basically the this year's target and even the next year's target will be more or less flat, but we'll see a material increase in the gas offtake by around 2 MMSCMD as and when NRL starts taking the additional gas. Is that the right understanding?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And 26-27 onwards, we can expect a substantial increase.
Yeah.
Because then by that time, the RGGL, the capitalizations and also the connectivity will increase. All the different gas grids that is developing in the Northeast region, they are also working parallelly. So the IGGL connectivity that will enhance oil, crude gas production will basically serve the different gas grids, you know, under the CCD regime that are getting developed. So it will be the feeding line for all those CCDs across the Northeast.
Right, sir. Just one more question in terms of, could you also update on the progress on the NRL refinery and what are the next milestones to track before sort of the commissioning of the refinery expansion?
Yeah, as far as refinery expansion project is concerned, they have already achieved about 70% physical progress by now, and about more than 20,000 crores of capex has already been achieved out of 28,000 crores.
And the target date still remains at December 25, basically, the commission.
Absolutely.
Is that a mechanical completion date or is that the sort of the commissioning date?
That is the commissioning
date. So basically, pre-commissioning activity would start sometime in the first or second quarter of the FY26?
Yeah. Now see, the moment the refinery is completed mechanically, it will not start in full stream from the day one. So that will progressively increase. So say initial year might be starting with say 50 to 60% capacity, next year going up to 75% and finally reaching 100%.
Right, sir. Thanks for such detailed answers. Very helpful. I'll go back and get you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde from Sohum Asset Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. So it appears that your oil and gas production increase is mainly constrained by demand, and so as some pipelines get commissioned, Numaligarh refinery expansion gets commissioned, your production will increase. So my question was that Numaligarh refinery expansion from 3 to 9, even probably selling that 9 million ton also is probably demand for final petroleum products also is likely to be constrained. So is it easily possible for Numaligarh refinery to ramp up to whenever possible to 100% in 2-3 years or demand constraints, or is there a pipeline which can take the finished products from Northeast to other parts of India?
So as far as the pipeline product evacuation part is concerned, there are two issues here. Are you talking about this? Raw material procurement side or?
No. I'm talking about finishing. My question really is that I am not very sure whether there is
on the evacuation part.
Maybe in Northeast for another 6 million tons, whatever production, 5 million tons extra production. So that is the question. So can you produce that much and send it elsewhere in India? That is my question.
Yeah. As far as that part is concerned, the product evacuation part is concerned, you are very correctly raising the question that whether it is additional capacity, how it is going to be evacuated. As of now, if you are aware probably that our pipeline is being used by Numaligarh Refinery for evacuation of their products from their northeast to up to Siliguri. But that existing pipeline is having a capacity of 1.7 MTPA. And that pipeline is being augmented from 1.7 MMTPA to 5.5 MMTPA. That is under progress. And that is, that particular augmentation project is also going to coincide with the completion of the refinery expansion.
Okay.
So automatically, the additional capacity is being created to cater to the additional requirement of Numaligarh Refinery when it, once this capacity expansion is complete. So automatically their additional product will mostly be evacuated through our pipeline only, which is under augmentation.
So this Siliguri, once the production, this incremental capacity expansion to Siliguri happens, can it go all over India wherever it wants to go? So is there...
Numaligarh Refinery is also creating facilities in Siliguri terminal for additional tankages and loading unloading facility, etc. So from there onwards, the products will move through either tank lorries or railway racks as of now. And they are also planning to put in place some pipelines which will be able to take the products up to the high demand areas in the eastern region.
That pipeline you will put or IOC or somebody else? Who's going
IOC to put or that? No, that pipeline will be put by Numaligarh only. So they are on. This is under planning right now.
Okay, no problem. So basically, you are saying that because the pipeline to evacuate additional production is also going to be commissioned along with the refinery, as and when the refinery stabilizes, it can ramp up over a 2-3 year period to 100%, and therefore, to that extent, your oil demand and gas demand will go.
Yeah,
so that was my second question was on your gas production, like some of your gas production is potentially eligible for this 20%. Is any of your gas production is going to happen in the next 2-3 years eligible for this higher 20% higher gas price? And if that is, what, can you give us some color on what proportion of your FY 26 or 27 production could be eligible for this higher gas price?
Yeah, I think... The $6.5 cap is for the APM gas, but as per the directive of the government, that from April 23 onwards, whatever additional activity you do or the new gas that you produce, you will get a premium of 20% over the 6.5 cap that you have. And so we are working out various modalities. Like which are the fields, which are the wells from which this gas will be qualified as the premium gas. And as of now, there are still some technical issues which need to be sorted out with the regulatory body, which is the Director General of Hydrocarbons. And once that is sorted out, we will be able to come up with the exact figures, like which are the gas and how much of the gas is currently available for the premium price. I think we don't have it right now, but because of this...
So whatever increase in production will happen from here on, it will be in any case entitled to the higher gas prices, is it? Because you are also guiding a big jump in your gas production in any case.
The case is that gas has to be produced from a new well or a production through new well intervention. So if that happens, then even if we are producing from our own nomination fields, that gas will fetch higher price in the form of premium of 20%.
So do you have any idea as what proportion of your production in say FY26 or 27?
We are working on it as of now. We are thinking of finding out those areas from where the production will qualify for the premium gas. That is currently on.
So when can you give a better color? Will it take a few quarters for you to give us a more clear idea on that, on how much of your production? When do you think you would be able to guide us on what proportion of your output will get a higher price?
See, data is being shared with the ministry from time to time based on the requisition received from the ministry for their report to be finalized. So once the report comes, then only the quantification part will be possible. So before that, it is better not to give any mention of quantification, right?
Okay. No. Thank you a lot. All the best. Thank you.
So this is going to add on. The amount of new gas will increase only day by day. Because we are going for new interventions. That is for sure. Only thing is that we are not able to tell you the quantity as of now. Because there are many
Thanks. And just if I could add one more question. So how much of your, most of your incremental oil I presume goes to Numaligarh, but in case of your incremental gas is 5 BCM which you are talking of, what proportion of this incremental gas is going to Numaligarh once for the expansion?
That part I had already mentioned, that Numaligarh refinery is presently picking up about 0.9 to 1 MMSCMD of gas from us.
Okay. So which are the other big consumers potential?
In capacity, they would be requiring 2.5 to 3 MMSCMD.
Correct. Now, which are other big consumers of gas which might in over the next 2 years, other than Numaligarh?
APL is going to increase.
Right? APL capacity is likely to get increased.
So how much more they will consume?
There will be a larger demand from the CGD entities. Because the entire Northeast, CGD blocks have already been awarded. So once the CGD entities become functional, they would be our gas.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you very much. Sir, yeah, can you give us some sense in terms of your plans in the city gas distribution and biogas, and is it going to be included in the segment called renewable energy in terms of reporting?
After the 12th and 12th A round of bidding, we have actually got 9 geographical areas in all. So out of those 9 geographical areas, 3 are already functional. Those are in Maharashtra and Haryana. That is the geographical area of Kolhapur, Ambala and Kurukshetra, where we are already producing and we have a steady market over there. In addition to that, we have got a geographical area in we have a CGD in Tripura, and we also have a CGD in Manipur. So these are Meghalaya, I think. North Lokhimpur. So these are the CGDs where we have our own interest, and our CGDs are already in the process of laying the network there. Even though the CGD, even though the IGGL network is yet to come, but we are at our end doing all everything possible so that once the IGGL network is commissioned, we can immediately draw gas from that network and run it through our own network, so that we can create a market for ourselves. Parallelly, we are setting up CNG stations in those areas. I think 2 of the CNG stations in Tripura, which are currently being run by GAIL, we have tied up with them, and we will be supplying our gas to those CNG stations, which will immediately become functional. So these are some of the things that we are doing in the Northeast for enhancing our sales volume. CBG. As far as CBG is concerned, we are mandated to set up 25 CBG stations, out of which what we have done so far is that we have identified a few technology partners
with whom we will be setting up one CBG station in Tinsukia, Assam. That is already, that has reached some level of finality. And other CBG stations also we are thinking of setting up. But that would take a little bit of time because CBG has to be spiked with the natural gas. Those things we are currently working on, and possibly in the days ahead we'll be able to come up with some additional information on this.
Okay, so out of this 9 GAs, how many GAs are on your own standalone? How many JVs?
Standalone, none. We are having partnership with HPCL mostly, and in the Arunachal GA, we are having partnership with DPCL.
So in terms of your capital allocation, you have shown about 2,000 crores of capex, out of which 1,400 crores is for your E&P business. So where is this E&P capex going, and can you share, you know, how much of that will be for these nomination blocks where you can get 20% premium? So although you may not be able to give the volume on which you will get that 20% premium, you would have done some basic working for the internal rate of return, right? So if you are spending so much of money, is it possible to say how much, where this 1400 crores and the other capital expenditures going based on whatever you have shared?
That,
your question is on capex.
Yes, yeah, and the cash flow you have given 43 crores for ANP and other capital expenditure 4,700 crores.
Huh.
Can you share where it
goes? I mean, you cannot really zero in on any one particular area. It could be oil, it could be gas, it could be other areas as well. Now, your question is specifically on gas, I believe. Is that your question?
Sir, you are spending 6,000 crores. You have already spent 6,000 crores in first half. So, if you can share what is the split for this capex in terms of the projects on which you are spending, it will be useful for us to, you know, understand, you know, which business you are, you know, investing in.
Just give us a moment.
See, the last next 3 years capex projection for the Oil India basis will be in the range of around 6,000 to 7,000 crores, and on the group basis, if we consider Molega refinery, it can be around 10,000 to 12,000 crores. Now, out of the 6,000 crores, if you see the trend, our around 75% of the capex is directed towards the upstream initiatives of the company. And the balance, we are on a phased way allocating towards the other initiatives and also including the renewables, the CBGs, the CGD space, all the, there were partial allocations towards this space also. Now on the upstream initiative part, as you'll be knowing that we have got acreage of around 50,000 square kilometer plus under the OLP regimes. And in many of the areas, we have already completed the seismic part. And we have got extensive drilling plans. If just like to highlight that our target for this year is almost around 70 plus wells. So a lot of capex is diverted towards the upstream part for the development drilling and also exploratory drilling. And you'll be aware that oil is now planning for the offshore drilling in Andaman. So the Andaman, there will be a part allocation to the Andaman offshore initiative as well out of the current capex. So for a broader guideline, you can say that around 75% is towards the upstream initiative, which will include drilling plans in our northeast in the main producing area, in the different other regions like Rajasthan, and also in Mahanadi Basin, and 1% in a particular few of the wells in the offshore region of Andaman. And we are targeting in Q4 to start the drilling plan in Andaman.
Mid-November,
we are starting the drilling activity in offshore Andaman.
So how much of your ENP capex out of the 75%?
Yes. So you want the hard numbers?
So
what do you want exactly?
That you are spending on the upstream.
See, broadly, as my colleague has explained, we'll be spending about 7,000 crore in the current year. The heads are seismic survey, exploration, drilling, development. Then we'll be investing in our subsidiaries. As I've explained, we have about 25 CBG stations to be set up. So all of these will be spent on these heads.
Exploration cost
would be more than 2,000 crore. My development would be close to 1,400 crore, little more than 1,400 crore. Other oil and gas facilities, etc., will attract another 2,300 crore. This is the broad breakup of the 7,000 crore that we are projecting.
Yeah, understood. Just to get some perspective on Vidya's question on the potential for additional production from the nomination wells for getting that 20% premium. Is any of this development expenditure going towards the increase in production in new wells,
yes,
or you know, additional well interventions in the nomination blocks? Just to understand,
yes,
you know, what your thought process is.
Yes, yes.
What we are currently doing is that we are in the process of exploring those areas which will be which will qualify as new wells, or those are through new well intervention. Actually, we will have to qualify those two conditions to get that extra premium. If that doesn't happen, then our gas will be like normal gas. So that would take some time. However, money will be spent on new wells as well.
Yes, sir, let me explain this.
So how much of that expenditure will be in the new well? Just to understand.
Our designate mentioned that in 24-25, exploration drilling 2,000 crores is projected. So this exploration drilling doesn't necessarily mean rank exploration in new areas. So what we do is chunk of our exploration we also do in our nominated regime in terms of near field exploration. And therefore, you will see that the exploration wells that we drill are not only in the rank exploration areas or in the OLP blocks, but it's also qualified exploration for near-field exploration. And that's why in the near-field exploration, in the nominated regime itself, you will have some exploration wells. And chunk of the development wells, where it is earmarked at 1,400 crores, is the budget. Now, for development drilling, you know that 99% of the crude oil comes from nominated regimes in the northeast, apart from about 600 barrels from Rajasthan. So majority of this development drilling will also be held in the nominated blocks in Assam and Arunachal. And all these wells which will be drilled as development wells or exploration wells in the nominated regimes will be eligible, the additional gas will be eligible for the premium 20% gas.
Okay, so your CapEx provides for some capital expenditure in the nomination block. That's why I wanted to confirm. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Actually, majority of it will be there
only. Okay. So, question about gas, actually, at least we have always have mostly around 3 non-institutional gas in our TDP.
Mm-hmm.
Around three, minimum three non-institutional gas will cut it. So, new gas, if we talk about in any gas, we generally target 3 wells.
Thank you very much. I'll join the group.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to one per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to one per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for doing the call. I had a follow-up question on the CapEx itself. I think you gave a bit of detail around the breakup of the CapEx that you're doing. But can you also give us a bit of a breakup of how much goes into Rajasthan, what goes into Assam, Dulhejan, and what will kind of go into Andaman that you're kind of planning, and how much could be off overseas that you'll have to do your equity contribution as?
So if you request such detailed breakup in terms of the areas where this CapEx is going to be spent, so that can be addressed separately. We are not readily prepared with that breakup as of now.
Okay, sure. So I think I'll just follow up on that. The second thing was in terms of your NRL CapEx, you said 200 billion of the 280 has been spent, correct?
Yes.
Can you just give us the total net debt that you have is now sitting at NRL's balance sheet?
That's all. NRL debt is right now it is about more than 11,500 crore.
Okay, got it. Perfect, so that's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, sir, just two questions. So, firstly, I think your provision and drywall that went up by around 200 crore quarter on quarter. Can you tell us exactly in what asset this has happened?
Can you actually, your voice was not very clear.
I got to know what you want to understand actually. This quarter, we have taken a write-off of about 72 crore on account of a well sitting in Puri. Okay, that is 72 crore is the straightaway write-off. And apart from that, another 297 crore, we have taken provision in respect of flooding well.
In respect of which well?
There are about five wells we have taken provision of about 297 crore. So that includes basically one well in Moran, one well in South Dhakwal, one in Dima Hasau, one in Asuk Nagar, one is Malik Beria. So these are the five wells against which about 290 crore has been taken as provision. Apart from that, write off of 72 crore on account of that Puri well.
Puri well is part of OLT, right? And the others are like part of nominated, right?
I mean, some are nail blocks.
Some of the nail blocks.
Like Ashok Nagar and Malik Beria, he referred to, these are nail blocks.
With ONGC.
With where ONGC is our partner. And one, I think, is an OLT block. That is Dima Hasau. And rest are our nomination areas.
Two nominations.
Got it. And sir, just a small question. You mentioned phase 1 and phase 2 of BNPL. So phase 2, I could understand by 2026, the entire NRL state will get augmented. Phase 1 will be what? By 2025 March, what are you trying to achieve in phase 1?
Phase 1 is? So, phase 1 is basically having a scope of about 55 kilometer area. And apart from that, in the phase 2, there are many other jobs which are lined up. That will give the final shape to the project actually.
55 kilometers, does it connect to any major customer or it's like just a...
No, that is only exclusively for DMPL, right? Only normally there.
Okay. No, I mean 55 kilometers not like right from, I was just wondering 55 kilometers, with 55 kilometers can there be any incremental volumes? Yeah, it is after only that.
Samir, just to explain, this is Debojik here. Just to explain, actually this BNPL project, it is one part is the expansion of the capacity and one part is basically an upliftment of the current facilities based on certain observations and some extensive repairing activities also that was taken up within the same project. So the project is, that is why phased in two phases. That first the repairing and the major repairing part will be carried out, and then at the same time capacity expansion part is also simultaneously going on. The repairing part will be completed in the first leg basically, and then the capacity expansion is tied up in sync with the expected date of commissioning of Numaligarh refinery. So what we expect that by end of next financial year, by mid, the first phase will be over, but that will not help oil to enhance the capacity because this is a standalone line going for feeding NRL's gas requirement. So once the entire project gets completed towards the later part of next year, then the additions of gas evacuation will start once Numaligarh refinery commissions and gradually gets stabilized.
Got it, sir. Very clear, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Solanki from ICICI Security. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my answer only got answered. My question only got answered. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Mr. Kirtan, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Thanks for the one more opportunity. Just one question to understand the capital intensity of the well workover programs or new well programs that we are doing. Would you be able to highlight how the capital intensity or our capex efforts have ramped up in the nomination block?
Actually, as far as exploration and development projects are concerned, we earmark more than 65% to 60% of our budget total capex on account of addressing those exploration and development activities. So right away I don't have the exact breakup of what you are asking, but as far as capex splitting is concerned, more than 60% of the capex goes on account of this exploration and development approach.
My question was more from the perspective that for us, basically, I think the production growth has been constrained primarily by the demand and not necessarily by sort of the additional capex investments required in the existing field. So, under the incentive scheme of 20% extra, premium on the gas is primarily to sort of support the additional capital intensity in the legacy field. So is it really applicable for us, this new well gas provision, because our capital intensity is not really sort of rising?
See, as far as gas crude oil production is concerned, the demand is not constrained by capital, obviously. Because the production is not constrained by the demand. Because as you know, Northeast is having more than 7.5 MMTPA of capacity, refining capacity. Whereas the total production in the Northeast is about 4 to 4.5 MMTPA. So there is a surplus capacity available. So the moment I can produce, my gas, the crude oil will immediately find its goal. So there is no hindrance as far as crude oil is concerned. But yes, as far as gas is concerned, the production is constrained by demand as on this. But demand can be unlocked the moment these facilities are in place. And majority of the facilities are in terms of this IGGL completion and DNPL completion. Not necessarily at our end.
No, there is another thing that we are also trying to implement, that's why. And I think Oil India is going to be the first in the country to do it. Actually, we have done it earlier as well. Now, in order to address this issue of constrained production, because you know, when we produce gas, in some of the fields we also produce some bit of condensate along with the gas. So if I have to shut down a couple of gas wells because of low upliftment by the customers, I'm also losing out on some of the production of oil in terms of the condensate which comes along with the gas. And therefore, we address this problem. Of course, the IGGL line will come. It will take another couple of years. But we cannot afford to lose even a single drop or barrel of oil. And that's the reason we have taken up this initiative that we will have a facility for underground gas storage. So this is something which is which we are planning to undertake on a war footing. And we have already identified a couple of wells or reservoirs where we will try to implement this strategy. And so whenever there is a shortage or there is a requirement for, curtailing your gas production, we will not curtail per se, but we will still produce, and we will still produce the oil, additional oil also with the gas, and whatever gas gets produced, we will inject it back to the reservoir for storage. It's like oil storage, but here we are talking about the gas storage. And later on when the demand requires, we can even produce back the reservoir. So this URI concept we are, I think, going to implement. We are going to be the first in the country to do it. ONGC is also eyeing for it. But then these are a few of the steps that we are already taking so that our production levels are sustained and, you know, at the desired levels. Okay.
Thank you, sir, for this call.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soma from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. First question, sir, in terms of the 30% equity contribution for NRL expansion capex, how much have we contributed so far? How much remains?
We have already contributed about 1100 crore.
Sorry, we have contributed so far 1100 crores.
1100 crore we have already contributed.
Sorry, why is not clear?
Another 5 to 6.
1100 crores we have already contributed.
As the promoter's contribution, our total commitment towards the NRL project is 2200 crores. And this is split into 4 cash calls. So first 2 cash call, actually we have already paid of 550 crores. So the total cumulative investment as a promoter to the refinery capex for the project is 1100 crores as on date. The third cash call also we have received, and that will be disbursed sometime by December. So by the end of this financial year, up to December, 1100 plus 550. And then based on the development of the project, as and when we get the balance cash call request from the refinery, that will be paid. Our total commitment is 2,200 crores.
Okay. And also, capex for NRL, let's say after next year, when the expansion is started, then what will be the capex run rate post that?
NRL capex. See, NRL capex, actually the total refinery project cost is 22,000 crores, and that is, again, is getting revised. Of course, the formal approval is awaited. But it is expected to be around 32,000 crores. Now, there is already a debt arrangement of 18,000 crores by the refinery, and the increased cost will be made from some additional debt drawdown, as well as maybe some additional internal accruals also may contribute to that. Now, as we have already mentioned, that the total drawdown that has been done is around 11,000 crores out of the 18,000 crores capacity. The capex that is for 24-25, they have planned the phase-wise capex, and for the current year 24-25, the capex is planned capex is around 10,000 crores, and it will be in that level for the next year also, because they have to complete the target is to complete the refinery by December 25.
Okay, sir. So one clarification here. So the revised capex for NRL expansion would be 32,000 crores. That's the updated number.
I mean, that is awaiting ministry approval. So what is approved as of now is 28,000 crores. There is a revision. The revision proposal is with the ministry. The approval is yet to be received.
Okay, sir. So, sir, also I was just trying to understand, post-expansion, once all the 9 MMT comes up, fully ramped up, what would be the run rate capex required for NRL, in case we have?
See, actually, Numaligarh Refinery is having another project in hand, that is the PetChem project. So for that project also, they have received the approval, and that will be around 7,000 crores. And this PetChem project is actually, few of the physical activities are simultaneously done with the refinery project itself, because it is an integrated project. Most of the refineries are taking up this kind of project now, considering the change in the scenario. And so what you can see that, yes, after the 9 million capacity is reached, definitely the refinery have to give more focus on streamlining the inward supply chain, outward supply chain for the 9 million refinery. But at the same time, the next capex, major capex that is in plan is the PetChem project. The approved cost for that is 7,000 crores, and the time requirement is 3 years from the approval date. And the approval is what we have understood is recently received. So you can say that in another 3 years' time, the PetChem project will come up. And it will be free, depending on the funding availability, how the additional capacity is marketed. So it will be a combination in that way. But if you ask me what is the next phase of CapEx, that will be the petchem project, which is 7,000 crores CapEx.
All right, sir. And what will be the product line in this, you know, petchem project? So, would it be LDPE, HDPE, or what is it?
Technicality.
On the technicality part, we cannot comment as right now.
360 KTPA project. 360 KTPA.
Capacity is
360 KTPA. Sorry, sir. Capacity? 360 KTPA,
yeah.
Okay. Sir, also, just a couple of clarifications. One, this new well intervention gas pricing. So, does this $6.5 ceiling apply to this, or is it just that 10% of crude and then a 20% premium to it? How does it?
So as per our understanding, the premium will be charged on the ceiling, which is $6.5.
Okay.
Because otherwise you don't gain anything. If the premium is charged on any price lower than 6.5, then possibly the intent.
10%. I mean, there is another possibility that if the ceiling is not applied and crude is at 75.
No, see, as far as that pricing is concerned, that is not for nomination blocks of oil and ONGC. So for oil and ONGC nomination block, they are maintaining a cap. And that cap is valid till 31st March 2025. Yes, from April 2025, we will be getting 25 cents premium over and above this 6.5. So it would be ultimately facing 6.75 coming April. So as far as the premium 20% is concerned, as far as our understanding goes, that would be applicable on this 6.5 as of now.
I just would like to also highlight one point. The, all this capex, the one part is targeted towards our main producing area, the nomination fields. And one part is for towards the OLP regime. You know, the block that we are having under OLP regime. Now, if we have any gas discoveries in the OLP regime, then the price restriction is not applicable for that part of the gas production. So I think in your number simulation, of course, it's an ongoing process. I think it takes around typically 5 to 10 years. But what we would like to highlight is that not the entire capex is going towards only towards the 6.5 or 20% premium. Part of the capex is also moving towards the OLP regimes, where the gas, if we have any discovery, that will be at a very higher price. There is no 6.5
marketing freedom in respect of the gas produced from those areas.
Yes.
If it is DSS, if it is OLP, so there is no restriction.
And going forward, say after another 2-3 years, once the IGGL line comes and we are connected to the national grid, then we also have, we can also see the opportunity of connecting additional gas through the IGX platform. So because that gas demand is always there, we are also in touch with the IGX team. So all these additional avenues will come once the IGGL connectivity and the entire Northeast connectivity with the national grid is achieved.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
This is the last?
Yes, sir.
So thank you very much, Antique, for organizing this phone call interaction. We hope we have been able to satisfy the queries of the parties, and thanks once again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining them, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.